This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Familiar with our program, we have a website you can visit. It's called freetalklive.com. freetalklive.com. In the studio tonight is myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Beakless Mountaineer, and joining us remotely from Florida,
Mark Edge,
who's here this time.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nice. Good job on the timing, Mark. Well done.
Thank you.
Also, there have been some folks who've said, Mark doesn't sound as good as he does normally. You sound great tonight, so whatever you're doing, keep it up.
It's an RE20. I got it from Michael W. Dean.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the guy you want to get it from, if you want to get it from anywhere. Because if he hasn't done anything to modify it, I'd be surprised. But if he has, it's going to sound great.
Even if he hadn't, it's still the best microphone you can get. I mean, probably it's probably priced too much, but it's the best microphone you can get.
At least for radio, anyway.
And then I got the downward expander, and Jay and Libertariat in the chat helped me set it up. So
boom.
Yep.
Just like calling on a community to help you with a tech problem and actually solving it without government intervention.
We can do that. No, there's got to be a department of IT.
Is that how problems get solved? Because it seems to me that, like, no problems get solved unless government gets involved and then makes it take, like, 10 times as long and 30 times the price.
Well,
what we're about here.
At this point, the government did throw my IT guy in jail, so I have to go where I can.
That's true.
So how do people get to this chat room? Because I don't frankly know how people
Which
get
chat room?
The one where Libertariat and...
Oh, is that one chat.freetalklive.com?
I assume so. The answer to your question, I don't know. I'm not your in-jail IT guy. So, okay. Yeah. I largely ignore the chat rooms while we're doing the show for only this reason. It's not called, hey, respond to the chat room on the radio talk live.
Well,
if you have something to say, call 603-283-6160. We've set up this show specifically for that reason.
Yeah, we're not free type live.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, I would say this, though. The chat room is about one of the few places where you can get a live person interacting, because here on Free Talk Live and frankly talk radio around the nation, The likelihood that one of the many, many, many thousands of people is going to call me on a telephone, you know, grab the thing off the wall with a little curly Q line and pick up and give me a call. I mean, there's a few people who do so.
Magic rectangles have phones built into them now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just saying.
Before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. You can get official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, that are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny Liberty-oriented clothing at LibertyMinded.com. That's LibertyMinded.com. I'm personally very glad that Liberty Minded is around. I have yet to buy something, but I did see a new-looking Free Talk Live hoodie around the studio here in the last couple of weeks or so. And I thought to myself, that is what I want. And so I shall get one from LibertyMinded.com.
Nice.
All right. So we've been talking about the vernacular of financial oppression. That's the best, like, summary that I can give for this type of a thing.
Yeah, and I got to say, so far, all of this has just been another example of, no, 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 the economy is great. You just don't understand how great our economy is because you happen to be paying higher prices, you know, at the pump and on your bills and in the grocery store. But we, geniuses who've been to Yale and Harvard, know that that's not core inflation. See, core inflation is where you take out all those prices that are, you know, they're really volatile, yeah, and you literally have no option but to pay them. Those are the prices that don't matter. We have a great economy. You just don't know how to count it.
You know, the only people that tell me that the economy is great would do anything to see Joe Biden reelected.
Fact.
Like, they would do or say anything. Yes, the sky is not blue today. It is a delightful shade of plaid. Like, they would say anything, no matter how ridiculous. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some good indicators in the economy, nor am I saying that the bad economy is Joe Biden's fault or, frankly, the president's fault at all. I think that the Bill Clinton quote is the best one, and I don't have it sitting here in front of me, but it's something to the effect of, It's like congratulating the bull rider on riding the bull, mm-hmm, you know, that, yeah, you know, the president and doesn't have that much to do with the economy, but certainly just spending willy nilly isn't particularly good for it. And, you know, calling for the printing of more money, they don't even follow modern monetary theory. Modern monetary theory would have you spending when times are bad, like they are now.
Yep.
And then paying off that debt when times are good.
Right.
But they never do that.
No, no, that's Keynesianism. See, now modern monetary theory updated that because we noticed that while Keynesianism...
You called it modern monetary theory first, and now it's the modern monetary theory.
The most modern
theory. You're right. See, you are correct.
John Maynard Keynes, you know, the greatest economist of all time.
Not.
Like, Nobel Prize winning. Now, he taught us how, like, that's exactly what a good economy is where the government spends a bunch of money when things are bad and then, you know, reels it back in and takes in some taxes when times are good. But what he didn't realize is that we need to spend more money all of the time. Just all of the time forever.
All right, so let's review. Thus far, we've talked about the word shrinkflation. We've talked about the phrase drip pricing. We've talked about greedflation. And we've also talked about excuseflation. So the next one is seller's inflation. Like, what does that mean? This term is credited to Isabella Weber, an assistant professor of economics at the University of Massive Douches, who claims large corporations have market power and have used supply problems as an opportunity to increase prices and scoop windfall profits. Her solution is price controls, which would, of course, lead to long lines and rationing.
And bloody shortages. That's what happened. Look, if you say the price can't go above a certain amount, and you need to put it above that amount in order to keep producing it, you stop producing it.
If you say, you can't sell a car for more than $30,000, but it costs you $35,000 to produce that car, guess what's happening? That car ain't getting produced.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is that these people think that the people who supposedly set these prices are in utter control of them. They're not. They never were. They are doing their best guess to see how much they can price it and it still get bought. But it still getting bought is up to the situation they're in.
The thing that bothers me most about this particular one, seller's inflation, is this term is credited to Isabella Weber, an assistant professor of economics.
Oh, well, that explains it. Yeah, no, all the stuff I've been saying about how, like, yeah, we have all of these, you know, neo-Keynesian modern monetary theory.
That's what this is.
Yeah, yeah. So the fact of the matter is, and they've tested this, once you've been educated in economics, you know less about economics than before you were educated in economics. We have tested this.
Yeah.
It is reliable and factual. And this is why.
But
because their job is not to actually do things well. It is to explain the actions of the people in power so that you agree to put them back in power.
Now you're talking. Because I was going to say, like, for me, when I, like, I never studied economics up until somebody pointed out Austrian economics.
Right.
Right. And so then I'm like, well, what's the difference between this and regular economics, right?
Well, this is sane, you see.
And like, no, it turns out that, like, it's just how economics actually is versus how they want you to think. Like, the system, the government, the banks, the Wall Streets, right, all these people, they want you to believe that economics is such a complex beast that you could never understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Only us, only we, the elite, we, the educated, the Yale and the Harvard, as you mentioned earlier, only we who have studied under the mighty Keynes can understand the many complexities of what economics... No, that's not true. You all can understand economics just fine. It's supply and demand.
Yeah.
So here's supply and demand, period.
Here's where when anybody's talking about economics and they say, actually, the next thing that comes out of their mouth is likely a lie.
Yeah, so the way we ended up here is that the people in all of these other fields looked at what the priests had going for them and said, I want a piece of that. So the priests had this great idea of like, oh, see, this text, it is way too complicated for you to understand. It's written in languages that you don't read. It has references you couldn't begin to comprehend. We educated people will interpret it for you. We will tell you what is in heaven beyond, what is in hell, where souls come from. We will let you know, and then you will act on the knowledge that we give you. And in law, they do the exact same thing. In economics, they do the exact same thing. And as many places as they can get people to believe that things are too complicated for them to understand,
right,
and that they need to rely on authorities to interpret reality for them, they will.
And they will.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, look at lawyers. The lawyer used to be a person who could read. He was a man of letters.
Yeah.
And now, it's, yeah, I mean, they write things in such a fashion that no one can read them.
Yeah. Not even the lawyers themselves understand, even right, their own niche markets most of the time. They take it on a case-by-case basis, and they must do boatloads of research on each individual case, because we know that governments, prosecutors, judges, and juries are the most inconsistent thing when it comes to judicial delivery.
Well, in some ways. There are ways that they are absolutely consistent.
How so?
Okay, so for example, I mean, tip of the hat to them, they really do uphold their oath of upholding the court. Now, what that means is making the court look good. They always make the court look good and just and proper and superior to all humanity. They make they will always uphold government, authoritarianism, power, centralization. They are very predictable on those fronts. Now, whether those things are legal or not, that is the direction that they will rule in.
Yeah, so my dig on them is, of course, when it comes to delivering actual justice. Those three entities, the prosecution, the judges, and the juries, rarely agree consistently on how justice should be dispensed. You're absolutely correct. Yes, they always make the court look good. And that's largely due to the what should be known as a conflict of interest, and that is to say the prosecution of any given case and the judge, and oftentimes the law enforcement people or the federales or the FBI or whomever is involved, all get their paycheck from the same frickin' place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in any other context, the court would chuck that out and be like, conflict of interest, you all can't get your pay from the same frickin' place.
Yeah.
But when it comes to delivering justice within the confines of the U.S. judiciary system, that goes out the window, and they're just like, no, it's fine. Totally. What do you mean conflict of it? We don't recognize it.
Yeah. I'm sure that the paychecks say something slightly different on them.
You're talking about the
U.S. Court of Appeals or whatever.
Of course they do. They have to obscure it in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole thing is based on.
We all know where
things.
The paychecks come from. It used to be that judges were people respected in their community mm-hmm. who traveled around. In some case, they were so respected that they were traveled around and they solved disputes elsewhere and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But at some point or another, they got paid by the government.
Well, and it used to be that your peers were peers. They were members of your community. Whereas now, it's so backward that they think that if you know the person, you couldn't possibly judge them.
Mark, I don't. You weren't here, but I did attend Bonnie when she went to combat her whatever parking ticket that was gotten here in the Keene area. And
thank God, I hope justice was served.
And well, I mean, it wasn't because it cost far more for them to drag the parking enforcement agent who wrote the ticket into court at $25 an hour. They paid for time to get there to the during the thing and then time to get so they paid way more than the $10 ticket. Right, to just bring this person, but like they had a judge and they had somebody serving as a I got to call them a prosecutor. I don't know what else to call them. They were acting like if you were in a courtroom, they would have been that person filling that role. They called them something different. But I can tell you for a fact that here in Keene, New Hampshire, that judge, that particular person acting as a prosecutor, and that agent, that parking enforcement officer, all got their paycheck from City of Keene.
And they've all heard about Free Staters, and they all hate them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and obviously, it is against whoever is being brought in there. For very obvious and simple reasons, it's the other golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rule.
Yeah.
So whoever is paying thing calls the tune.
What's
he pays the piper.
The activists aren't poor in Keene, New Hampshire. In this case, it's the power rule. He who has the power isn't going to let it go.
Well, but they know. But what I'm saying is that the prosecutor is literally giving the judge his paycheck. The fact that he is prosecuting this is why the judge is getting money. So, of course, they're going to, consciously or unconsciously, side with the prosecution.
Hmm.
And this, and here's the pro tip. Here's the, like, life hack on the subject. If you want things to go your way in court, sue them. Because then you are responsible for giving the judge's paycheck. And then they will side with you against the defendant, which is them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple once you break it down. I mean, it's evil, but it's how things are.
All right, so we've talked about Sellers inflation a bit and then, like, kind of got off on a tangent. Let's move on to disinflation. That's just inflation that insults you while it's at it. It's going to diss you. No, that's not true. Here's what they have to say about disinflation. Prices are rising, but at a lower rate of change.
That one I have heard. That one's a fairly old one.
So isn't that just slower inflation?
Well, yes.
Like, it's elderly inflation?
And that one tends not to get used very often, and here's why. When that happens, they will call it inflation is coming down.
Right, yeah. Instead of it just slowed a little bit.
Right. What's actually happening is not that inflation is coming down.
Right.
It's that inflation is going up slower.
That's like when a politician says that they've successfully reduced the budget. No, they haven't. They've just successfully reduced the rate of spending that is continuously going up. They just slowed that a little bit.
Right.
And now they're able to claim.
We were going to spend this much money, and we lowered that to spend this much money. It's well more than we have that we're going to bring in, and has been since, when Bill Clinton was in office, and that was just 1 year. Before that, you'd have to go back to the 50s.
Okay, so this last one in the list here, immaculate disinflation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds sexy. What do we got?
Curran says...
Sounds like Mary's involved.
It does, doesn't it? Or, like, somebody just caught some inflation, like, out of the blue, like the Immaculate Reception out of the NFL days. You guys aren't football people.
No.
Anyway, Curran says that immaculate disinflation is the optimistic notion that Jerome Powell and the economists at the Eccles Building can bring prices under control without putting a bunch of people out of work. The Federal Reserve can either create money fast or create money slow. That's all it has. Jerome Powell is not the economy's Geppetto.
Well, it's not quite all it has. So let me give you an example. The Bank Term Funding Program, which almost nobody knows exists, the BTFP.
The Bank Term Funding Program? Yeah. Is this where they pay people to come up with these new terms so that the banks can get away with absconding our money?
Nope, a little more insidious than that.
All right.
So it was very simply a bailout. But because they called it the Bank Term Funding Program, and they did it this way and this way, instead of doing it the way that they did in 2008, no one was upset by it. So not only do they have the power to create money and determine how fast they create it, they also have sneaky ways of hiding that they're creating money. And something called jawboning, where they didn't actually change anything, but they talked in a certain way, and that made people act differently.
Again, vernacular.
Yeah. So the fact that they are such insanely powerful creatures in this economy means that if they use slightly different wording, the entire economy shifts in preparation for them doing something else, whether or not they're ever going to do that.
Mark?
Sounds right. I'm just listening.
So the article continues, Murray Rothbard explained where inflation comes from everywhere and always. The fault of inflation is not in business monopoly, nor in union agitation, nor in the hunches of speculators, or in the greediness of consumers. The fault is in the legalized counterfeiting operations of the government itself. For the government is the only institution in society with the power to counterfeit, to create new money. So long as it continues to use that power, we will continue to suffer from inflation, even unto a runaway inflation that will utterly destroy the currency itself. Inflation, or whatever you want to call it, is nothing more than government taxation in stealth form. Only governments can conjure up new money from nothing, using it to bid away resources from private individuals.
And I want to explain that. That when we say inflation is theft, the idea that we're trying to get across to you is that if you have you're in this imaginary community that we talked about that has $1 million in it, right? It's a bubble, and that way you can understand it. And then somebody comes along and adds another $1 million to that economy. Now, they didn't create a single new car. They didn't replace a window. They didn't do anything. They just added money. And at some point or another, not immediately, but at some point, the equilibrium is going to be found again, and there's no more wealth, there's no more cars, there's no more factories, there's no more nothing. There's just more money, and that money is going to be worth half as much. So when the government creates money, they spend it into the marketplace, or their cronies do, and that is how they take your wealth.
603-283-6160. Coming up, will we talk about neuro-warfare owls, or will we talk about the never-ending surveillance crime spree?
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
News update. The White House says President Biden will be visiting the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse next week. The Navy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water. Here is Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
To see a freight that is nearly the size of the Eiffel Tower, and to see that same freight with the Key Bridge resting on top of it. to see shipping containers that were ripped in half as if they were paper mache.
In USA News for Your Health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning in to tonight's edition of Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio program where you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. You can talk about what we're talking about, too. That's fine. But if you want to change the subject, that's totally fine, too. Hence the name Free Talk Live. In the studio, it's myself, the captain. Peakless Mountaineer is joining us, and remotely, it's...
Mark Edge.
Very well. So we had been talking about, like, you know, the sort of vernacular of financial oppression. That's the shortest phrase that I could think of to use for all of those words that we talked about, shrinkflation and greedflation and, like, all these terms that are getting thrown around in, like, economic articles and periodicals that governments and banks and financial institutions are putting out. And, like, it's quite literally all just BS. There are other better words for these things. It's just that they want to soften the blow. They don't want you to know that you're getting hit in the face, or, you know, more accurately, in the wallet. For all of the things that they're doing, they want to place blame upon anyone except themselves. And so this is how they deflect. They create these new words, this new terminology, and deflect all of that so that you kind of don't, you continue to not understand what's going on economically. And so, you know, hopefully that's, you know, a bit of an education for our listeners out there. As far as the terminology or vernacular of financial oppression is concerned, particularly in the U.S.
I do know that this is the most important election of our time, that if we don't pick the right guy, that the wrong guy is going to get in there, and we're all going to, I mean, it's going to be another Kristallnacht.
And, Mark, I mean, I know you're, I detect a hint of sarcasm there, and I detect that because I'm old enough.
If you don't, then I'm not doing my job.
I'm old enough to know that I think every presidential election has been referred to as the most important election of our lifetime.
What's weird is that's true.
How is that true?
Because the government gets more powerful.
Yeah, but they're going to do that regardless of the outcome of the election.
Right. So whoever gets in has more power than the guy before him. Like, they're not wrong. It's just that it still doesn't matter.
Okay.
Let me give you a great example.
And my point is that it doesn't matter, right? And so, go ahead.
Let me give you a great example. Right now, we are teetering on the edge of World War III. And neither of your options are likely to keep us out of it.
No.
Yeah, it is the most important election ever, and we're going to lose, because both of your options are going to get us into a world war.
Right, so what you're saying is my presumption is what you're saying here is that in one case, the one of the crooked old perverts is going to get us in a war with Russia,
mm-hmm.
and the other crooked old pervert is going to get us in war with China.
And what's great about this, if we get in a war with Russia, China will join Russia against us.
Oh, and no, they won't.
Are you kidding me?
Why would they? They're going to just go in there and clean up the mess. They'll take all of...
because the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Well, largely that, yeah. Because they have significantly stronger trade agreements with them, because they're literally on the cusp of creating a new EU, essentially, with them, the whole, like, BRICS union, because they're currently figuring out how to have a currency together. Like, they are way closer to Russia than the U.S.
The digital socialism, the digital communism that's happening in China, like, it's just insane, man. These people are slaves of a degree humankind has never seen before,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not like people think, oh, well, you know, the being a slave in, you know, the 1700s in the U.S. or the 1800s, you know, was far worse. Like, no, because these people have the illusion of autonomy, right? They're able to walk. They can still go to, like, a grocery store or a gas station. They can go out to a concert if they can afford it, right? You know, they have this illusion. But when their government decides, no, you can't travel anywhere, right? They're forced to produce something on an app, on their magic rectangle, their portable device, and whatever their designation that the government has decided will allow them to either travel or not travel. It's a green or red. That's it. That's how they know they can go past this particular blockade, whether it looks like a turnstile to the subway or if it's a full-on military roadblock, it doesn't matter. They have the technology. They're subjecting these people to it, and they just think it's part of everyday life. They're growing up with it. This next generation of Chinese are growing up with this digital socialism, this digital communism, and they just think it's just how life is.
Well, that's how you keep the flu from spreading, don't you know?
No, it's not. But I want to segue off of that a little bit and talk about the U.S. A little bit and the never-ending federal surveillance crime spree. It is my opinion that the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, is the modern equivalent of the Gestapo.
Fact.
Like, real close, like, if not, like... You know, just because they wear smiley faces on the back of their jacket doesn't mean they're not armed and they're not being Gestapo-like.
Yeah, I mean, there are some surface-level differences. I mean, they are not actively just abducting people into the night with no fanfare. Like, they are still making press releases from time to time.
Yeah.
But are they doing their job being constrained by their, by their pieces of paper? No.
Right. And so speaking of the pieces of paper, last December, one of the most intrusive provisions in the federal statute book was set to expire. Section 702 of the Foreign Surveillance or Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, also known as FISA, we've talked about this at length here on Free Talk Live, authorizes the NSA to vacuum up trillions of emails and other data. A bevy of bipartisan members of Congress called for radically curtailing those nullifications of Americans' privacy, but the effort to put a leash on the federal surveillance failed dismally. Huh, weird. It's almost as if they don't want it to be taken off the books.
Well, sure, we've been doing this, but it's legal now.
Congress voted a four-month extension of FISA, which will likely be followed in April. That's coming up next month, like a couple days from now. A much longer extension. There was a bipartisan congressional conspiracy to entitle the deep state to continue trampling the Constitution. In 1978, Congress passed the FISA Act to outlaw political spying, such as, like the FBI has committed, on American citizens. FISA created a secret court to oversee federal surveillance of suspected foreign agents within the United States, permitting a much more lenient standard for wiretaps than the Constitution permitted for American citizens.
See, FISA is very important. It's where the government consults itself for permission to do things. It turns out they've, approved almost everything, but, it's very important.
The FISA court created a secret body of law giving the NSA the power to amass vast collections of data on Americans, the New York Times reported in 2013 after Edward Snowden leaked court decisions. The court rubber-stamped FBI requests that bizarrely claimed that the telephone records of all Americans were relevant to a terrorism investigation under the Patriot Act, thereby enabling National Security Administration data seizures, which were later denounced by a federal judge as almost Orwellian. Almost. Almost. Like, what would it take, Judge, for this to be actually Orwellian to you?
Here's a better question. What would it take, Judge, for you to punish the people who are breaking the law against innocent, peaceful Americans?
In 2017, a FISA court decision included a 10-page litany of FBI violations, which ranged from illegally sharing raw intelligence with unauthorized third parties, all the way to accessing intercepted attorney-client privileged communications without proper oversight. The latest controversy.
I want to jump in here. What Peakless said just sort of got me to thinking. Everybody knows that Sam Bankman-Fried of FTX was sentenced last week, this week. I'm not sure which Sunday, so it's last week. And that he got 25 years. And, understand, I don't feel terrible about that or anything. But if the judge cared anything about Americans having their money taken from them, anything.
Yeah.
If he cared anything about it, he would, A, make the politicians give back any of the money that they still have that he donated. That seems like an obvious one. And B, he would say, 25 years, but, and I don't know how much is owed, I really don't, you've got, I'll give you a year off for every $100 million that you return to your investors, and I'd use air quotes, and then SBF would use, this is a really smart guy.
Right.
He's just got drunk with money. I'm not saying he's a good guy, but that's what happened to him. And he would then use that prodigious brain power to go about attempting to get as much money, because I'd be willing to bet that he's got several billion dollars on a thumb drive someplace, on a, in some words that he's memorized, whatever. He's got some money socked away. And if he could trade that money for years off of his sentence, who would be harmed by that?
Right.
Because prison isn't going to fix him. It isn't going to suddenly make him a moral individual who then goes to work in 25 years when he gets out, or probably 12 and a half, and begins to, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you exactly who would be harmed by that. The current system.
Sure.
So the entire purpose, the reason that he had this widely televised sentencing and all of this, The reason that he was in the news everywhere and getting arrested and getting put into court and now into jail, all of that, was to make sure that everyone in the financial sector knew, you don't touch crypto, it's dangerous to us.
Right, yeah, yeah. They wanted the mass public to further believe that cryptocurrency is something that, like, oh my God, criminals and like scoundrels, those are the people who talk about and deal in cryptocurrency. It's like, no, go FCC yourself.
Yep.
That is not the truth. And in fact, if you want to see one of the most illegitimate Ponzi schemes, rip-offs, fraudulent, like, things ever put onto a society, you need look no further than an entity called the Federal Reserve.
Right. And since you bring this up, here's a fun fact. So, because FTX didn't close when this all went down.
Right.
They just went through the whole, like, proceedings to stay open and pay off this and all of that. So, check this out. So they had all of these cryptocurrency holdings, Bitcoin and a bunch of others, right? So because all of those have gone up so high in dollar value, they are able to pay back everyone, but in dollars.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, also, fun fact, we still haven't hit a new all-time high if you account for inflation.
That's true as well.
Yeah. In just those 4 years, they've managed to push the value of dollars so low that getting significantly higher than our old all-time high, not enough.
We have more to say specifically about all of this FISA stuff and the never-ending surveillance crime spree, but we've got somebody on hold we should probably talk to. This is Gigi in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live.
Your secret passion, who's not a secret anymore, according to Richie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to announce that. This is Gigi, my secret crush, calling on Free
there
Talk
you
Live.
Go. If only I could do what they did on Star Trek and beam you down. I need Scotty to help me. I'd have you come and sit at my table and cook for you.
You make a mean brisket?
I actually do. I'm a Jewish girl.
They make a mean brisket.
I ate dinner, but, like, my tummy's grumbling.
Oh, you're so cute. Hey, I like listening to all of you gentlemen discussing things about financial history because I often ask myself, self, was Alexander Hamilton correct? Get rid of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he talking about getting rid of?
What do you think, Richie?
Richie's not here, man.
What did Hamilton suggest getting rid of? I'm sorry?
Mark.
Yes, tis I.
Good evening, sir. Alexander Hamilton was always going crazy and screaming at everybody in the Federalist Party as well as the, emerging Republican Party with Jefferson. Don't have a centralized banking system.
Oh, you've got
Leave
that
it
one
alone.
Backwards.
Get rid of it. No, let the free market
do No, that's
magic.
Not Hamilton. That's Jefferson. Hamilton was always strongly in favor of it. Hamilton was he in fact created the first National Bank of America.
I just looked it up
Jefferson
real quick, Gigi. It says here, why is Alexander Hamilton considered the father of modern banking?
And that's why. Yeah, you've got the two backwards.
Oh, I inverted the names. You're correct. Please excuse me. I stand corrected. I got all mixed up.
It's okay.
Yeah, same
you're
battle,
human?
Wrong sides.
You're human? Wow, I would have never guessed that, Gigi.
Oh, listen, you've heard me for years on the show. If I make a mistake, I have no problem admitting it. That is how I constantly learn. And there's no shame in saying, I made a mistake.
And way too many people.
This is called being an adult.
Yeah, way too many people have not learned that lesson, in my opinion, on planet Earth.
Well, I'm still learning it on a weekly basis. But I have a question, gentlemen.
All right.
Because you guys know, and all the listeners out there know, I'm very fond of international relations. So, I heard several times this past week, the current political leader of the Irish Free Republic, I don't know the gentleman's name, he was previously a practicing physician, His mother is Irish, his father is Indian, and he's the first openly gay elected politician to head Ireland, and he is resigning. And the new leader is going to be replacing him very soon from a very conservative political party. What happened? Why is this gentleman resigning?
You tell me. I don't keep up on this stuff.
No, I don't know. I was hoping one of you gentlemen could fill me in.
Oh, I've long since given up on Europe.
Well,
I don't pay attention to what they do because nothing that they do is remotely headed in the right direction.
Well,
so
he was so progressive with so many wonderful, open-minded ideas, economically, socially, politically, and now he is walking away. Something happened.
I don't know the answer. All I can do is glean from, you know, what's been reported in the news, and, well, who knows how accurate that is. This from Al Jazeera. Northern Ireland leader Jeffrey Donaldson resigns after police charges.
Oh, no, that's Northern Ireland. I'm talking about the Irish Free State, Northern Ireland. That old fart, he got caught with sex scandals. I don't give a damn who he's sleeping with or what he's doing. That ain't my business.
Yeah, that's actually a really important distinction between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
I said from the Irish Free Republic.
You did. Yeah. I think you're talking about, is it Leo Varadkar?
Yes, yes, sir. That's the gentleman.
This from the BBC. The headline reads, Leo Varadkar, I am no longer the best man to be the Irish Prime Minister.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to know. And earlier you guys were talking about, as you always do, libertarian agendas, particularly regarding social and political and economic issues. So I got a very interesting letter from Ian. He should only stay safe, my pen pal buddy. And he was writing to me about the new democratically elected political leader of Argentina, who is very, very outspoken in favor of a libertarian agenda.
Yes.
However, as I returned my letter to Ian, I wrote, funny thing, however, with a big comma, why is he not permitting freedom of speech and political demonstrations?
Oh, because they will all be bought by the socialist opposition, and they will destroy a whole lot of stuff in the process, and then he'll be blamed for all of the destruction, and a lot of people will rethink their vote.
Damn, B.
It's really that simple. I wish things were otherwise, but frankly, they are not advanced enough.
Such things? I mean, doesn't that violate libertarian principles?
Well, so
isn't it considered hypocritical?
Is he disallowing a thing, or is he?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
So I've never really had a stance on his social policies. I have a stance on his
outspoken about pro-choice.
Can I finish his sentence?
Legally mandated in Argentina, same-sex marriage he's good with. However, it's the freedom of speech issue, and I say again, we're sending tons of money and military aid and training Ukrainians here in the United States, and the leader of Ukraine is not permitting the scheduled elections to take place.
Right.
And I have a
funny way to defend democracy, ain't it?
All right, so hang on, Gigi, because Pickles wanted to finish, so hold on for just a second.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I haven't been trying to defend his social positions at all. I've been trying to defend his economic positions. His economics is libertarian. His social positions, not so much. And to be real specific, he's not actually against free speech here. He's against the freedom to assemble, which are somewhat different. Because you can say anything you want. He's not worried about people saying stuff. He's worried about them lighting the country on fire and him getting blamed for it, and specifically his opponents paying people who don't actually care to go light the country on fire so that he gets blamed for it.
then you need to answer Ian's letter because you got the answers, and I couldn't answer it. I told Ian in the letter, I don't know, and Ian wrote back, call the next time and ask on the show. So I'm doing it.
Yeah. Well, and it's really, really unfortunate that...
10,000 instructions.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate that all of the leaders who are doing anything libertarian in the economic sense, you know, Malay or the Bitcoiner of El Salvador, like these people who are having libertarian economic policies are having deeply authoritarian social policies. And
yeah,
that's very unfortunate.
Too.
And that's part of why it's so important to remember that we're not conservatives. Conservatives do have a tendency, in general, to be libertarian in their economic views and authoritarian in their social
the
distinction
views. With that.
Yeah. Now, Gigi, while we've got you, I just real
again,
quick.
Teach me. We are always learning.
Hold on,
and
Gigi.
I feel when I learn something from anyone, I get smarter because I am empowered with information.
Well, I want you to empower me with information on this. I know you used to be in the legal field. And what's your take on Julian Assange and what he's been charged with and whether that would apply to him?
Oh, my husband and I, we were talking about that as recently as earlier today. Yes. Well, we were making distinctions between whistleblowers, citizen, journalism, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and to force someone or to compel them to enter into an agreement where they would plead guilty to mishandling classified information would have him admit to his negligence, guilt, culpability. Hell, he's not even a citizen. How can they do that and charge him with espionage?
Right. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that someone who was intimately familiar with the legal field could see that one.
That's a good word you use when I'm talking to the captain.
Gigi, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you. Feel free to call us again, 603-283-6160. If you would like to join the conversation tonight with Peakless Smart and myself, the captain, it's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three is still to come.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.